And I want to talk about how we need to make sure that we make the right bread. Okay? And you're going to remember this from the passage of Scripture here and see it and remember it right away because it's a very famous passage of Scripture. But Luke chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you very much for your wonderful blessings upon us. I pray that you would just take and bless our services, both outside and inside, Lord. Be with our people. Keep them healthy. Get them healthy. We think about Miss Cohn in the hospital there, and I pray, Lord, that you just raise her up, give a doctor's wisdom about what to do with her now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I want to think about making the right bread. And, you know, one thing that we don't understand today versus back then, at this time, bread was a very expensive product. Today, for us, you might think, well, bread's expensive now. I mean, you can go out and buy a loaf of bread for a couple dollars, or you can buy a loaf of bread for $5 if you want to get a fancier loaf of bread. But that's nothing. Back in this day, bread cost you an eighth of a day's wage. So if you could imagine that, I mean, it might cost you an eighth of an hour's wage here, but not an eighth of a day's wage. So that's just the bread that you needed to live on. If you had a wife, if a man had a wife, then he could spend a quarter of his day's wages on bread. And if he had a family and he had to take care of them too, people could spend about half of what they made every day just on food products. And even more than that if you wanted to. So you really had to rely upon making your own bread and doing things like that. And back then they had services. You'd make the loaf. And then they would send a delivery boy by, and he would take it to an oven and cook it for you. And then bring the baked bread back to you. So we had kind of the opposite of a pizza delivery boy, but we had a bread cooking boy, okay? And so he would come along and cook the bread. Well, that's different from today. And if you were a professional baker, it was one of the highest paid jobs that you could have back then. It was considered a very high class job to be a baker. I don't know exactly why, but everybody relied upon bread, didn't they? And everyone needed bread. And eating bread was considered to be, if you only had bread in your diet, that was considered to be a poor man's diet or a slave's diet. And so most of the time you would have other things with it besides of bread. But I just think that's interesting about the bread and how different it is back then versus how different it is today. Now, here Satan said that if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And I was looking up and seeing how many different times and different ways stones were used in the Word of God, and I thought I'd give these to you. It has nothing to do with the message, but I just find it interesting, and if I find it interesting, I hope maybe you will too. Sometimes stones are valuable. Sometimes in the Bible, stones are strong. Sometimes they're heavy. They replace stones with brick to build the Tower of Babel. Jacob used stones for his pillow. Stones were used for memorials and markers to show ownership. Stones were used as protective coverings for wells. Stones were used as altars. Stones were used as knives. Stones were used as a punishment, being stoned to death. Stones were used as weapons. Stones were carved. There were special stones in the priest ephod that he wore. The Ten Commandments were written on stone. Burning stones fell as a sign of God's judgment. Stones were used to seal up caves. Stones were used to build houses and walls. Stones were used in mills and by potters. Stones were used by a shepherd boy to slay the giant Goliath there. Stones were thrown at David by an angry man to show his disgust for David. Stones were viewed as being abundant. They were everywhere, just like they are here. In Sumter County, you can dig down in the ground and you can find stones anywhere. Stones were used to mar the fields. Stones were used to stop up wells. Stones were pictured as causing people to stumble. Stones were used for foundations. Stones were viewed as being smoothed by the waters. Stones were viewed as being hard and destructive, breaking, crushing, destroying things. Stones had to be covered with mortar all the time on houses and walls to fill in the holes. That was especially so snakes wouldn't come crawling in your house at night. Stones, Peter was called a stone. A hard hearts were called stones, stony hearts, and hard as an adamant stone. Our Lord is seen as being a stone cut out of the mountain without the use of hands. Our Lord is seen as being a stone of seven eyes. Seven eyes is talking about the seven spirits of God, or the seven attributes of God's Spirit, as the Bible tells us there in the Old Testament. Our Lord is seen as being the stone which the builders rejected. Our Lord is called the chief cornerstone. Our Lord is called the stone which is set at naught. Our Lord is the one who caused the stone to be taken away from the grave. Isn't that a wonderful thought to end with? Is how that stone was taken away from the grave. Do you know, it's just like a while ago, Miss Betty said it. She said, I'm not worried about my mom. She knows the Lord. Well, you know what? As believers, we don't have to worry about death. And I know that we may not look forward to the avenue of death, having to walk down that pathway and the suffering, the dying. But, you know, we don't have to worry about death if we know the Lord, do we? The Lord has taken away that stone. He's moved that stone out of the way. Well, I want us to look at this passage here again, and we're going to start there in the end of verse number 2. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So he didn't eat anything for 40 days, and afterward he hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Well, I want you to think about just a few things here with me, and I've got some verses later on that I'll read to you. But first of all, think about this fact. Satan always attacks us when we are at our weakest point. Doesn't Satan come along and try us when it's the worst possible time to try us? I mean, we're tired, or when we're hungry, or when we're hurting. And that is when Satan will come along and he will attack us, and he will try to hurt us. He'll try to discourage us, and he'll try to tempt us. And so we have to be very, very careful, because Satan likes to attack when we're at our weakness. You know, the next thing here is the Bible tells us that Satan said, you know, whenever Satan says something, whenever the devil comes along and whispers something in your ear, whenever the devil tries to get you to do something, never believe the devil. Okay? Never listen to him. And now you can have somebody who you don't trust. They haven't ever told you the truth. But if they keep talking to you and talking to you and talking to you, they'll cause doubt to come in your ear. You know, all of a sudden you'll start to doubt. You'll wonder if maybe they're right this time. They've been wrong every other time before, but maybe they're right this time. I use as an example that old television show, Andy Griffith Show. And it has Barney Fife on there. And why anybody ever listened to Barney Fife, you never know. But you know, every now and then Barney Fife would say something and someone would listen to Barney. Why would they ever do that? I don't know, but they would. You know, why would we ever want to listen to the devil? The devil always tells us lies. And I also want you to notice here how that Satan's first attack upon our faith, or his desire, is to build doubt in us, or to build pride up in us. And he says to our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, If thou be the Son of God. Now that's an attack of a doubt, an attack of pride. Satan loves using the word if. If God said, this is what's going to happen, Satan loves to say, if God said, if this happens. He loves to put the word if. If he can cause doubt where things were concrete, where things were hard before, Satan will put a crack there, and eventually he'll be able to exploit that crack. Now, up in the areas where it's northern, they have something called frozen water up there. It's called ice. Now, we don't have too much ice in Florida. Every 7 years, we'll get cold enough here, and something will freeze. But not a body of water or anything like that. It's just like frosty ice on the ground. Or we might have a little flurry of snow, and the kids get so excited with it. But up north, it snows a lot, and it gets very icy. And they say that if you take a rock, and you have a little tiny crevice in that rock, and just a little bit of water gets down inside that rock, that when it freezes, it can break a rock into another whole other piece. And it doesn't happen instantly. It's not like the first time it freezes, the rock breaks and falls over. But slowly and surely and eventually, once it has that crack there, that rock will fall apart. And you know, that's what Satan wants to do in our heart with our faith. He wants to put a little crack in our heart, a little bit of doubt. If, And then he will take and he will exploit that crack. And now, also, you'll notice here that he said to our Lord, if thou be the Son of God. You know, it wasn't always a thing about doubt, but it's also a thing where he was saying, why don't you show me that you're really the Son of God? Why don't you prove it to me? You know, you can get into a lot of trouble. People can push you into fights and push you into battling them, push you into doing things that you don't want to do, into saying things that you don't want to say, and they do it because they're attacking our pride. You know, if you're really a Christian, then you ought to do this. If you're really, you know, don't listen to people when they try to do that. Don't listen to the devil when he tries to come along and tries to get you to lift yourself up in pride. But that's what Satan tries to do. He wants us to do that. Now also, the Satan here comes along. He says, if thou be the Son of God, then he says, command this stone that it be made bread. You know, where was Satan to be able to order anybody around? But why should Satan think that he should get to order Jesus Christ around? But yet he comes along there and he's ordering Jesus Christ, command that the stone be made bread. Okay, if you're really who you say you are, then this is what you ought to do. You know, the devil tries to order us around and demand that we do things that are contrary to God's will. God had led our Lord Jesus Christ to this place. He was led of the Spirit. This is exactly where God wanted him to be. Now, you might think in your life and say, well, sometimes I have to go through things and I don't like to go through them. I can understand that. But can I ask you, is it God's will that you go through it? You see, sometimes we might have to go through trials and it's because of sin. You know, we go through problems because of our own sin. Have you ever suffered because you did something wrong? Well, of course you have. But sometimes you go through trials and it's not for anything that you've done wrong. It's just simply because that is the way that the Lord chose for you to go. I think about it out here. I mean, I'm so happy that they changed our road around. It's such a wonderful blessing. It's easy to get out. It's easier for us to get in. And it's just so much better. Now, I drive down that road and I go on that nice new little section of paved road. And I think, wow, wouldn't it be great if the rest of the driveway is paved? But knowing that soon, I believe, okay, I don't know what soon means. Soon to me is like this month. Soon to the government is like within the next 5 years. You know, you never know what soon is. But I say, wouldn't it be nice if the whole driveway was that smooth? But you know, I don't want to spend money to pave a little section of driveway so that we can be comfortable for just a year or two. It just seems like a waste of money. So you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to be okay with traveling on a little bit of a rougher road to get where we want to be. And you know, that's the way it is with the Lord. The Lord sent us down a pathway. And it's not always a smooth road. And sometimes there are obstacles and trials. And we're going to have to go through those obstacles and through those trials over them. And we're going to have to endure some hardness in order to get where God wants us to be. So let's not let Satan attack us and demand an order that we act outside of God's will and live in the fleshly wants there. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being hungry. Okay, but there's something wrong when you set aside that which is spiritual so that you can fulfill your hunger needs, your body's needs. Okay, we put the spirit first, not the flesh. All right, Satan also, he wants us to focus on temporal rather than the eternal. The temporal bread versus the eternal. Do you know people can get mad because the preacher goes a little bit long or the invitation goes long? Or because somebody gets saved at church and someone's dealing with them and we're trying to wait as long as we can. And someone can get mad because they miss out on the good seat at the restaurant. Or because they're not going to be the first person to get to the table. Or because they're hungry. And you know what we do is we miss out on the eternal blessings because of a temporal blessing. I always think that about anger. Now, I'm the same as you are. Sometimes things make me angry. They just do. And you know what's amazing is, as soon as you say something and get that anger out, you feel an instant relief. It's like a pressure relief valve, okay? Or that little pressure relief valve on top of a pressure cooker. You know, it finally builds up pressure, and boy, it starts sprouting off and it starts spewing. And for just an instant, you feel good. And then you know what sad is? After you feel good, for just that split second, then you're like, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. I don't know if that was... And then you have to go around apologizing to people. And feeling bad for how... You know, I hate that bad feeling. So I try to avoid that instant good feeling. That just minuscule instant good feeling. So I don't have to have the real bad feeling later. You know? It might feel real good today to go over and punch Jake right in the face. But it's not going to last long. Then you're going to feel real bad about punching Jake in the face. And you know what? He's a pretty strong kid. He might punch you back. And then you're going to feel really bad. Do you know we have to remember that? We cannot live in the temporal. We have to live in the eternal. And I think about that with the Bible all the time. I've read my Bible a bunch of times in my life. Many, many times. And I sit back and I think, wow, what else am I going to learn next time I read my Bible? But you know what? It's never a waste of time to read your Bible. You know why? Is because in heaven, the Word of God is settled and secure. And you know, in heaven, we won't have to know all these wicked things that we learned when we were sinning. We won't have to remember all the things that we used to do. Matter of fact, we can't, because we can't take sin to heaven. But you know what you can take? The Word of God. You can take the praise of the Lord. Okay? And you can take what He's done for you, that joy in your heart. You can take all of that to heaven. So why lay up for ourselves treasures that are not going to last, that are going to cause pain and suffering and hurt? Why not lay up for ourselves something that's really good, something that's permanent? Now, next thing here is, how about this? And I was thinking of this, how can we make the wrong bread? And I thought, we can make the wrong bread by using the wrong ingredients. You know, one of the worst ingredients that you can possibly use for bread is rocks. That's horrible bread. I mean, can you imagine Cliff saying, I'm going to go home and cook, and he goes outside and he gets some lime rock and he starts busting up the lime rock and making bread out of it? If you've ever eaten anything that had a little tiny stone in it, sometimes you can get a beans, and beans will have a little rock in them. And you have to make sure you get rid of the rocks, don't you? Because boy, if you get a rock in that bean and you're the one that catches it and you go to bite down there, it can break your tooth. It's just not good bread. So I thought, scripturally, there are some wrong ingredients that we can do. You know, one wrong ingredient that we can use to build spiritual bread with is ignorance. In Psalm 14, verse 4, the question is asked, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? Boy, we have people today all around us that are ignorant of spiritual things. They make sure they take care of the temporal things, but they're ignorant of spiritual things. I encourage you as God's people not to be an ignorant people. We need to make sure that we serve the Lord and make sure that we do so with knowledge and full understanding. Number two, not only can we build bread out of ignorance, but we can also build bread out of deceit and lies. Psalm 41 verse 9 says, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which should eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Proverbs 20 verse 17 says, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Oh, we have to be careful that we don't build our lives out of deceit and lies, and make sure that we are honest people in our words and in our living. It's so hard to go around all the time and pretend to be somebody. It's so much easier to just be who you are. I had a woman years ago. She came to church, and she was a stubborn woman, and she just did not, she just said, this is her phrase, I'm just the way I am, and that's how I am. And she'd tell people, if the preacher doesn't like it, then blah, 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 blah. And she'd just run off like that. You know, that's a shame. I really want people to come to church and be who they are, but some people, all of us do, need to change, don't we? We need to change certain things. We need to grow stronger. You know, when a child's born, children are beautiful and wonderful and lovely, but children have certain things that they need to be trained to do. Some children just naturally are cleaners. I mean, they love to clean. And some children are very messy. You know, it's one thing to sit back and say, well, that my child is just a messy child. No, you have to train your child to clean and train your child to work. You say, well, my child was just lazy. Some children are hard workers. They love to work. But most children have a lazy streak in them. They like to play. You have to train your children to work. It's not something that just naturally happens. You know, you have to train children. And I know that we're all adults here, but we have to be trained. We have to remind ourselves. See, it's not something that just naturally happens. You say, well, I'm not good at that. That's who I am. You know, well, yeah, sure. You like to honk at the guy when he pulls over in front of you and you like to get mad and yell at him. That may be who you are, but that's not who you want to be long term. See, you can change. And you say, well, I can't change. I'm too old to change. Nobody's too old to change. Okay? And nobody's too old to adjust things in their life and say, you know what? I can be a better Christian. I can be a better person, a better citizen. We have to make sure that we don't live with deceit and lies in our life, because it's going to be too hard to live that way. It's going to cause gravel inside of you. All right, next thing here is we want to make sure that we don't build bread built upon God's wrath. Psalm 80, verse 4 says, O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Now sometimes when the Lord chastens us, it causes us to be sad, and it causes us to cry maybe over our sin. But that shouldn't last long term. We want to get out of that. I had a woman years ago, and her husband had done something wrong, and so she decided she wasn't going to talk to her husband. So next time I saw her, I said, well, I'll see you at church, and we'll talk about this. And so I saw her at church, and I said, why do you think that you shouldn't talk to your husband? Your husband wants to talk to you. He wants to apologize for what was done. She was thinking that maybe she should never talk to him ever again. I said, where did you get that? And she said, well, my mom and dad. She says, whenever my dad did something wrong, my mom would kick him out of the house. She said, Dad has a refrigerator in the shed. And whenever mom would kick him out of the house, Dad goes lives in the shed. I said, he does. She goes, yeah. She says, he'll live in the shed for months sometimes. I said, well, do you realize the purpose of having an argument is so that you can get things out and correct them? The purpose of being mad at somebody or having an argument like that is not so that you can have perpetual tears, perpetual pain. Okay? That's like a doctor saying, now this is going to hurt. You know, what they're saying is, this is going to hurt, but I'm going to make you hurt so that I can make you feel good. That's the goal. The goal is not to make you hurt, so you hurt, so you hurt, so you hurt. And we have to remember that with God's wrath. God does not want to hurt us. Okay? He will hurt us. He will correct us as a way to get us to do what's right again so we feel good. When he comes along and he spanks us, he chastens us, and he gets us in the right path, then we get a smile on our face. We're happy. We're joyful. All of a sudden, everything's going the right way. So that's bad bread to build a life upon. Also, wickedness. Proverbs 4, verse 17 says, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. It's talking about the path of the wicked. You know, we ought never to build our life based upon things that are wicked, things that are sinful. That's a bad thing to do. Also, adulterous bread. Proverbs 6, 26 says, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. In Proverbs 9, 16, she's talking here, and she says, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. We have to be careful of adulterous bread. Also, we need to be careful of pride, building our life upon pride and self-praise. Proverbs 12:9 says, he that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. Okay? That's like people trying to go around, and I've seen it, but there's people that don't own a business, never owned a business, and they go around complaining every day because the boss runs things this way and that way, and they say, I don't know why the boss doesn't run it this way and that. A lot of times what you have to realize is the boss actually runs a business that makes money. He may not be a nice person, but he does know about running a business. Okay? We sit back there and we complain, and we don't even know how to run a business. So we have to be very careful that we don't live a life that's built upon pride, self-praise, and arrogance, things like that. Okay, last one of these, and then we'll get right to the end here. But idleness. Proverbs 31:27, talking about the virtuous woman. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. So we don't want to build our life out of idleness either. So what should we do? Well, the last thing there is, after Satan said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread, the Lord turned back around to him and he answered him. And he said to him, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You know, we don't need to focus on what comes into us. We need to focus on what goes out from the Lord. I found this story. I don't know if it really applies completely, but I thought it was an interesting story. There was a lady once, and she took her children to a restaurant, and her six-year-old son was there, and he asked if he could pray. He bowed his head, and he said, God is good. God is great. Thank you for the food. And I would even thank you more if Mom gets this ice cream for dessert. And liberty and justice for all. Amen. The boy prayed a prayer, and laughter came from the other customers nearby. And one woman remarked, that's what's wrong with this country. She said, kids today don't even know how to pray. Asking God for ice cream. Why, I never. She was just a grumpy old woman. And hearing this, the boy just burst into tears. He asked his mother, did I do something wrong? Did I pray wrong? Is God mad at me? The mother held him and said, no, God's not mad at you. You did a terrific job. One older man came by. He approached the table and he just kind of winked at the boy and he whispered to him and he said, I happen to know that God thought that was a great prayer. The boy asked, really? The man said, cross my heart. He added these words. He said, too bad that she never prays for ice cream. He said, a little ice cream is good for the soul sometime. Well, the mother was happy with her kids. They went back, they ate their food, and at the end of the meal, the mother indeed got her son some ice cream. He picked up his ice cream, he looked at it, and he walked over to the woman that had been so rude to him. And he gave her his ice cream. And he said, here, this is for you. Ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. And my soul is good already. You know, we have to remember, it's not about what we take in. It's about what the Lord puts out. We have to be willing to pass up on things that God has given to us, that God has made good for us. But we have to be willing to pass up on those things so that the Word of God can go forward. Because we can't live on bread alone. And we're going to find that out one day. I mean, we know how important it is to have food. Okay? We know how important it is to live. But one day, when you step from this world into eternity, you're going to realize how important it was that you listened to the Word of God. And you're going to be thankful for it. And you know, there are countless souls all around us that need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say this, and I don't say it lightly. You may be the only testimony and the only witness that they have. And so that's why it's always important that we be vigilant and we be ready to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we be vigilant against our adversary, the devil. We need to make sure that we build our life based upon the right bread. And just like, I'm not sure if it's really true, ice cream is good for the soul sometimes, but I would say it is, but I'm not sure that that's true. Scriptural. I'll tell you this, the good bread of the Word of God is good for your soul. So let's enjoy it today.